Blog Talk Radio.
Life has few guarantees, but there's one important guarantee you can count on from Colonial Penn Life Insurance Company. Our guaranteed acceptance whole life insurance can help protect your family when you no longer can. Your acceptance is guaranteed if you're between the ages of 50 and 85, and it's easy to apply with no health exams or health questions asked. Guaranteed. And affordable coverage options to fit almost every budget. For free information, visit ColonialPenn.com. That's ColonialPenn.com.
This is Dr. Chinchilla Donesia, the commissioner of WBNN. The those of you that have been having trouble tuning into WBNN's programming due to phone service provider issues with Metro, T-Mobile, or Cricket, I have a solution for you. Go to the Google Play Store or the Apple Play Store, download the TextNow app onto your cell phone, choose a phone number, and then you will be able to tune into all of WBNN's programming. I am the Honorable Dr. Chinchilla J.
From Lagos, Nigeria. This is Strictly Business, and I'm your host, E. Davis. Call 516-453-9133. Press 1 to join the conversation, brought to you by Ngozi Time. This is a product of WBNN. Hello, friends and family. I'm so excited tonight. We have an awesome awesome show. We will be discussing about the stock market. And this is something that I've wanted to discuss for a long time, and even understanding the concept of investing, how powerful it is about investing. And we can always get rich by saving our money and stacking our money and having businesses, and, you know, we have credit cards, and when things come up, we can, you know, we can take care of it. But we really, really, really need to think about how to invest in the stock market. So I'm going to go over some information. We have a special guest with us tonight. He's also going to go over some information with stock, with the stock market and how you can invest. And we want to have a great, great time. Investing in stock means buying shares of ownership in a public company. Those small shares are known as a company stock. And by investing in the stock, you're hoping the company grows and performs well over time. When that happens, your shares may become more valuable, and other investors may be willing to buy them from you for more than what you paid for. That means you can earn a profit if you decide to sell them. A good rule of thumb is to have a diversified investment portfolio and to stay invested, even when the market has ups and downs. One of the best ways for beginners to learn how to invest in a stock is to put money in an online investment account, which can be used to invest in shares of stocks or stock mutual funds. With many brokerage accounts, you can start investing for the price of a single share. Some brokers also offer paper trading, which lets you learn how to buy and sell the stock market simulators before you invest in any real money. So I'm going to give you 6 tips on how to invest, and our stock marketing guru is going to confirm if these are the best tips. Now, there is no one-size-fits-all method for how to invest in stock, but these 6 steps process can help you get started. First, figure out how hands-on you want to be. Open an account, choose between stocks and funds, set a budget, focus on the long term, and finally, manage your portfolio. 1, decide how you want to invest in the stock market. There are several ways to approach stock investing. Tip number 2, choose an investing account. Once you have a preference in mind, you're ready to shop for an investment account. For the hands-on types, this usually means a brokerage account. For those who would like a little help, opening up an account through a robo-advisor is a sensible option. An important point, both brokers and robo-advisors allow you to open an account with very little money. Tip number 3. Learn the difference between investing in stocks and funds. Going the DIY route, don't worry. Stock investing doesn't have to be complicated. For most people, stock market investing means choosing among 2 investment types, which is stock mutual funds or exchange trade funds. Tip number 4, set a budget for your stock market investment. New investors often have 2 questions in this step. How much do I need to start investing in stocks, and how much money do I invest in stocks? And tip number 5, focus on investing the long term. Stock market investment has proven to be one of the best ways to grow long-term wealth. Over several decades, the average stock market return is about 10% per year. However, that's when an average across the entire market. Some years will be up, some down, and individual stocks will vary in their returns. Manage your stock portfolio. While fretting over daily fluctuations won't do much for your portfolio's health or your own, there will, of course, be times when you need to check in on your stock and other investments. All right, ladies and gentlemen, I'm beyond excited to introduce our guest tonight. I reached out to him last month after my show, and he immediately said yes, which I am beyond excited about this show. We have a stock market guru. We find his information on social media, and we are more than excited to have him on our show. His name is Max. Max, are you there with us?
I am, E. Thank you for having me on the show. It is a pleasure, and, you know, I'm excited to talk to everyone about the stock market.
Okay, now tell me how to pronounce your last name.
It's Fuse. That's how my grandmother says it. So, Fuse.
Fuse.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, nice. So, I got a question. So, I know nothing about the stocks. I did download a Robinhood app, and I put like a dollar or two in Amazon, a dollar in Twitter when Elon Musk bought it, and I put a dollar in, I think, Starbucks or something. And my friend of mine explained to me that is shares. But if I want to build a portfolio, if I want to have a stock in something, and I don't want to say be rich, but have money, so in case something was to happen, like, you know, we are now out of this pandemic. Everybody is, you know, safe and sound, Lord willing. What if something like this occurs and we have to fall back on our money in our investment? What advice can you give?
Yeah, I got you. So as far as I like your six tips, I thought those were really good. In fact, I agree with, for everything I heard, I pretty much agree with it. That was pretty cool. As far as investing money into the market and kind of with the thought that you might have to access that money in a relatively short amount of time, I personally think the easiest way would be to invest in index funds and ETFs. And essentially, by investing in index funds and ETFs, you're almost using your stock brokerage account as like a very high-yield savings account. And that's kind of how I personally invest my money, is I will invest my money into basic ETFs and index funds. I'm from the United States, so I'm lucky enough to have access to a ton of U.S. ETFs and index funds like S&P 500 ETFs and total stock market ETFs and index funds. So this answers your question, but it's also in general, just generally what I would recommend to people is investing the vast majority of your capital into index funds and ETFs. It's simple, and historically speaking, it's proven to give you consistent, somewhat predictable average returns. It, like you said, it varies year to year. You could be up 20% one year and down 10% the next, but the average over the years is somewhat predictable. So I would say if you are investing into a standard brokerage account or a personal brokerage account, an account where you can easily liquidate your assets, I would say the easiest way would be to invest in index funds and ETFs. And of course, if you have a liking towards certain individual stocks, I'm never going to say no to someone wanting to invest in individual stocks, because honestly, it's fun and it adds a little bit of flavor into investing. And I'm all for that. I myself, so I would never say no to individual stocks. But a well-balanced portfolio of ETFs and index funds, and perhaps some individual stocks as well.
Okay. So for a beginner, from my understanding, the process of picking stocks can definitely be overwhelming. So
yes,
there are 1,000 stocks listed on the major U.S. exchanges. Stock investing is filled with intricate strategies and approaches, yet some most successful investors have done little more than stick with stock marketing basics. So as a beginner, what would you suggest? If I come to you and say, I know nothing about stocks.
Yeah, if you're a complete beginner and you don't want to overthink this, and honestly, this really rings true to people that also just maybe don't have a huge interest in the stock market. Not everyone wants to learn everything about the stock market. Again, I would say index funds and ETFs, they're simple, they're effective, a little bit boring, but they work. Like, historically speaking, you get consistent returns over time. And like I said, it's almost like having a high yield savings account, because you, instead of putting your money directly in a savings account, you can divert some of that money into your brokerage account, and you can expect some more volatility. Obviously, it's your money in the short term is going to be going up and down, which can cause some people some fret and anxiety. However, if you can kind of stick with it and subscribe to a long-term buy and hold investing ideology, then you can expect your money to go up more rapidly than, let's say, a savings account. And again, index funds and ETFs are incredibly simple. And not everyone has access to the same index funds and ETFs. So I would say there's probably a little bit of homework you might have to do, or if you can, if you have resources to potential advisors. I'm not saying you should or shouldn't do that. I personally, again, I'm very interested in the stock market, obviously, so I kind of handle all of my business myself. But if you're someone who's not super involved in the market, and maybe you're having a harder time setting up a brokerage account and or finding index funds and ETFs to invest in, you could seek professional help to have someone help you kind of set things up and get you started. But just to go back to your question, bottom line, I'd say index funds and ETFs, super simple and relatively, you know, over time they're effective.
Okay. So you're saying E as in Echo, T as in Tom, S as in Sam, right?
Yes, ma'am. Yeah.
Okay. So we have a track by international DJ legend Brother O. When we come back, I want you to tell us what an ETF is.
Why are you so obsessed with me?
You know what?
All right. Why are you so obsessed? We got Mariah Carey playing on our sounds tonight. This is a product of WBNN. This is Strictly Business, and I'm your host, E. Davis. We are on the air all the way from Lagos, Nigeria. So call 516-453-9133. Press 1 to join the conversation brought to you by Ngozi Time. And we have Max Fuse of Stock Masters. You can find him on Instagram, stock_masters_. And he has learned the best dividend stocks, achieve financial freedom, and retire early. And he is a guru in the stock market. I'm going to call him Warren Buffett Jr., if that's okay. Max, are you still with us?
Thank you. I like it a lot.
Warren Buffett, WB Jr. So you're definitely
like
giving me you're definitely giving me some jewels, some pearls of wisdom for me to understand stocks. So one of the questions is, should I set a brokerage account first?
Yeah. So that's a step that it's one of those things. Like, to me, it's very obvious, but not everyone knows that. But like, before you start investing, you should, like you said, open a brokerage account. And again, it's, depending on where you're located internationally, it's going to depend who you can actually set up a brokerage with, and also just what brokerages are available in your country. And I mean, I, like I said, I'm from the United States, so I know all of the major U.S. brokerages that are offered in the United States. Internationally, there's many different platforms that are available. So if you like, if you do have access to the internet, which a good amount of people do internationally, you can simply search stockbrokers in this country or stockbrokers in my area. And that should kind of give you an idea of what's offered, who offers what, and also what kind of features that brokerage offers. The first step is just opening a brokerage account and putting in your information and submitting an application.
So now, what's the difference between index funds and ETFs?
So they are, that's a really good question. They are essentially the same thing. However, and this is a very nuanced detail, ETFs are actually traded as an individual stock. And by that, I mean, you can buy and sell an ETF multiple times a day. So you can buy an S&P 500 ETF at one price. You can sell it. That maybe it goes down again. You can buy it back, and maybe it goes up, and you just sell it right back. So you can essentially day trade an ETF. Whereas with an index fund, once you place an order for that index fund, it goes in at a certain market price, and then typically, in my experience at least, with the brokerages I have used, at the end of the day, you will get your order confirmation. So you can only buy and sell an index fund one time a day. But
okay.
Essentially, they are the same thing. ETFs are a little more readily available, I would say, because, like, for example, I used to invest on the Robinhood app, and you would, like, I did not have access to all the index funds, but I did have access to all the ETFs. And typically, like, I have Fidelity brokers now. That's where I have all of my investment accounts. And with Fidelity, I have access to all of Fidelity's index funds. But, and I could be wrong on this. I might have to double check. But I don't believe I have access to all of Charles Schwab's index funds, for example. So, and this is something I might have to double check. I don't want to misspeak on this, but I think that index funds are specific to your brokerage, where ETFs, you can buy and sell pretty much any ETF from any brokerage, as long as those ETFs are available in that stock market that the brokerage is offering. So like with Fidelity, I can buy and sell any ETFs that are available to U.S. investors. And I guess one more nuanced thing is that ETFs index funds will track a certain market index. For example, you have the S&P 500, like I've spoken about. An S&P 500 index fund will track the S&P 500, and you do have S&P 500 ETFs, which will also just track the same exact index and same exact performance. However, over the years, many brokerages or, I mean, they're all brokerage companies for the most part, but they will create their own ETFs. So they'll kind of group a bunch of stocks together and market it as an ETF. You could have like a technology ETF. There's some that are like high dividend income ETFs. These typically have, basically you'll pay more fees, you'll pay more commission to the whoever owns that ETF. So honestly, these kinds of ETFs I don't recommend as much. I think the easiest approach for most people, again, the vast majority of your capital should probably be allocated to just an index tracking ETF. But again, another very small difference is ETFs can kind of be personalized and packaged together and sold however a brokerage wants to do it, kind of to appeal to people's different tastes, I would say, or maybe, like I said, they're like whatever flavor they might like stock market wise. But that's essentially or kind of the same thing.
Okay. So at the risk of sounding redundant, how do I know an ETF fund from an index fund?
Yeah, so, which is a good question. One thing I have noticed, which this doesn't say too much, but index funds typically have ticker symbols that are like 4 or 5 letters long. It's just something I noticed. But whereas like an ETF, we usually have like a 2, 3, 4 letter ticker symbol. So that's one dead giveaway, like if you're looking at ticker symbols. But another really the best way to identify it, again, I mean, I use the internet for all my research, is a quick search on the internet. And again, like an ETF, if it doesn't list a specific index, and another kind of giveaway is if what they call the expense ratio, that's the percentage of fees you will pay. So like if you invest $1,000 into an ETF and it has a 1% expense ratio, you can expect to pay $10 out of that that position, that ETF position annually. Like that ETF, whoever's providing that service, will take money because they're essentially getting compensated for their service. So, again, one way to kind of tell if an ETF is tracking an index or not, another like kind of, I would call it like a gut check, is if the expense ratio is really high. And by really high, I mean pretty much anything over 0.1%, although that doesn't seem high. When it comes to vast amounts of capital, that tiny little fraction can make all the difference. So, for example, an S&P 500 ETF will typically have an expense ratio of something like 0.02 or 0.03. So once you start getting closer to 0.1 and above, that's kind of a dead giveaway that they're creating their own ETF and kind of grouping a bunch of stocks together rather than tracking an index. And another thing would just be the name of the ETF. Like most S&P 500 ETFs, for example, are going to mention, they're going to mention something about the S&P 500. Like an international stock market ETF is going to mention something about being an international stock market ETF. So those are some like dead giveaways if you're just scrolling through ETFs and looking for like an ETF that fits a certain classification. But me, I mean, again, I always will do a quick internet search or find some way to check kind of what it's tracking and whether it's an index-based ETF or not.
Okay, and what are the tickets symbolized?
Ticket symbols.
What are ticket symbols?
Oh, yeah. So a ticker symbol is just, it's kind of like, it's an abbreviation for a stock or an ETF or an index fund. It's usually between one, I've seen some long ones, but I'd say between 1 and 6 letters. And for example, like AT&T's ticker symbol is T, so that's kind of like its calling card. So if mm-hmm. if you're on a brokerage account or you're like online and you're searching for stocks, ETFs, you'll use that ticker symbol generally to identify, to kind of search for it. It's typically what's used to like search for stocks, ETFs, and index funds. Considering some of the names can be kind of verbose and lengthy at times, especially with an ETF or an index fund.
Okay. Okay. Now, what got you into stocks?
Yeah, that's a great question. So, growing up, I didn't really know anything about the stock market. My parents were big savers, but they really didn't know much about investing. Saving is the first step before investing, so it kind of got me halfway there. But actually, my wife, my father-in-law, he is the one who I sat down with him and started talking to him. And I don't know, we were just talking about all of his business ventures. And I remember he specifically told me about investing in AT&T and about getting dividend payments from AT&T. And I didn't really understand how it worked. So he's pretty much like, well, I invest this much into AT&T stock and they'll pay me this much as kind of like a reward or kind of my cut of the business for investing that money into the company. And that kind of blew my mind. I'd never heard of anything like that. That's how I really learned about the stock market. I had been invested in the stock market about a year or two before, just having a retirement account through my job. I didn't really understand it. So I was invested in the market, but I didn't understand it. And at the time, I didn't really care to understand it, to be honest. So it wasn't until I talked to my father-in-law, and he really educated me on kind of how he invests and just the kind of like the general, you know, just general stock market investing. And it was dividend stocks that got me into it. And that's kind of funny enough. That's kind of why I started my Instagram page, was just, I was kind of obsessed with dividend stock investing, and I found that people really enjoyed it, so I just kept doing it. But I kind of started with dividend stocks, and then from there I've kind of slowly progressed over time because it's a journey. I mean, I'm always learning things. I might be Warren Buffett Jr., but I'm always learning stuff. Like it's like anything else. It's an endless cycle of learning things and then, you know, questioning what you thought you already knew, and then, you know, just trying to learn as much as you can. So I kind of went from dividend stock investing to more like growth stock investing to kind of settling a little more on index funds and ETFs just because they're so balanced and, like I said, somewhat predictable. But that's kind of been my journey. And it's been good, and, you know, it just keeps on going.
All right. We got a track by international DJ legendary Brother O.
Do 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 beg you to stay. If you're determined to leave, boy, I will not stand in your way.
Baby, we are on the air live. We are live all the way from Lagos, Nigeria. Call 516-453-9133. Press 1 to join the conversation. This is brought to you by Ngozi Time Multimedia. This is a product of WBNN, and I am your host, E. Davis, and this is Strictly Business. We have Max Fuse of Stock Masters. He is teaching us all about the ins and outs of stocks, of understanding the stocks, how to invest. And I got a question, Max. So how old were you when you decided this is what I want to do, is focus on stocks and investing?
Yeah, I gotcha. I mean, I was 22. That's when I really started getting into it. So relatively young, but I mean, on Instagram, I have kids messaging me that are, you know, 13, like, hey, I heard about this. And I'm like, that's awesome. Like, the fact that, you know, there's no wrong age to start. Like, I talked to a guy yesterday who was 55. I wanted to learn a little bit more about the market. And I'm like, there's no bad time to start. Everyone learns about it at a different time. I was like 22, 23 when I got into it. So I've had some time to learn it, but yeah, it's one of those things where there's really no bad time to start.
Okay. So there's no bad time to start. So you could be from youngest 13, if you have an understanding, all the way up to the age of 100, you can invest in your money. So
yeah, if you're 100, you might not see some of that money, but I bet your kids will be happy. So
now I definitely get that. Now, someone who doesn't have much money, can they start with a stock app program, or is penny stocks a good entry level in investing?
Yeah. So, really, what I recommend everyone is if it's offered, it really is an offer to everyone in every brokerage. But there's such thing as fractional share investing, meaning that you can invest, rather than buying a full share of a certain ETF or index fund, you can invest, like, if you have $10, you can invest $10 into a stock ETF or index fund, and you'll get a fraction of whatever that share is. So if the share is $50, you'll get, you know, one-fifth, you'll get 0.2 shares of that stock, that $50 stock. So first and foremost, I always recommend to people, try your best and, you know, educate yourself. Try to find a brokerage that offers fractional share investing, because it kind of eliminates that barrier to entry as far as some of these higher share price securities go. So that would be like my first recommendation off the bat. And I always tell anyone who's seeking advice, like, how important and helpful and useful that can be. Second, I would say there's nothing wrong with individual stock investing. If you are limited on your capital and you do not have access to fractional share investing, and you're really, you know, you're excited to get into the market and get started, I would look into, one, see if there's any cheap ETFs available. And by cheap, I just mean cheap in price. There are some that are $30, $40, $50, which it generally is a pretty good entry point for people as far as total capital. But let's say you have even less than you want to get started, then sure. I mean, you can look into stocks that are very cheaply priced. There are some stocks that, like you said, kind of penny stocks. There are penny stocks that, of course, are going to be profitable in the future and that are going to have serious capital appreciation and possibly either currently pay a dividend or pay a dividend someday. So I would never say that penny stocks are inherently wrong. In fact, penny stocks are typically what you would call a small cap stock, meaning that they just have a smaller market capitalization, which market cap is just the outstanding number of total shares the company offers times their share price. So there's nothing wrong with, like, penny stocks or small cap stocks. In fact, small cap stocks tend to expect a premium return in comparison to larger cap stocks. But I would, if you are going to invest in penny stocks or relatively cheaply priced stocks, I would just do as much research as you can. And also just, I would curb your expectations. And in fact, with the stock market in general, curbing your expectations and not expecting too much, and this can be very difficult, but not getting too excited or too optimistic, it's a skill, but it's almost necessary sometimes, because, like, even myself, I can get ahead of myself and expect a little too much, and it can be somewhat discouraging when maybe you know you're not getting that return that you initially expected. So again, like, if penny stocks are your only option, I would just have realistic expectations as far as what kind of returns you could get. And who knows, maybe you'll surprise yourself and you'll end up getting a much better expected return. And let's say you invested $20 into penny stocks and you could turn that $20 into $200. Well, then $200, you can either choose to stay invested or you could possibly sell out. And from there, you could maybe pick some maybe relatively safer securities. So just to answer your question, of course, penny stocks are a fine option. I would always recommend look for a brokerage with fractional share investing. If that's not available, look for the most cheaply priced ETFs or index funds that are going to kind of meet that diverse criteria. And then from there, if really your only option is penny stocks, or that's just what you want to do, that's your flavor, then I would say spend it. And, you know, getting involved in the market and time in the market is honestly the most important thing, because you really have to be in the market and have some skin in the game to really learn and to get some real experience with it. That's just kind of how it goes. So I hope that answered the question.
Oh, it definitely does. And we have a caller and a queue caller. Thank you so much for calling. Please tell us your name and where you're calling from.
Hello, my name is Wanda Walker. I'm calling from Germantown. And hey. my question How are you?
I'm well.
My question first. That's wonderful. I'm glad to hear that. My first question for our guest speaker tonight would be, could you give me a comparison in between the crypto and all the rage and the stock market between the two, and which one do you prefer, or do you pretty much deal with both of them? You know, I am the type of person that likes to touch my assets. So I've taken classes for, you know, the stock market. I've read books on it. I've had plenty of friends try to talk me into the crypto. I pretty much like my investments to be in real estate. But could you tell me the difference between the crypto versus the stock market? Which one do you think will have the longest return and the longest staying power for the future?
Yeah, awesome question.
Yes, thank you.
Yeah, so I'll jump into it. So as far as crypto versus the stock market, of course they're both investment routes, and typically for most people they're relatively easy, like easy investments to get started in. I'll preface it saying that I do have amount of money in cryptocurrency. Not nearly as much as I do compared to the stock market, and I'll kind of really the main reason why is crypto. Crypto is incredibly volatile, and not a lot of people can stomach that volatility. It can be, I know people, including myself, when I first started investing in crypto, I was so obsessed with it, and it would go up and it would go down, and you can really get wrapped up in the price moving that with that kind of volatility. So I would say and this is a totally objective kind of difference, is crypto is much more volatile than the stock market. And it's, in my opinion, would be a little more, there'd be more risk involved. That's not to say that crypto can have some serious returns. But crypto is an asset where there's not a whole lot of historical data on cryptocurrencies, whereas the stock market, there's definitely some more reliable historical data. So I would say for a beginner or something, I would say the stock market is a much less risky route, and probably it's a little more consistent, and you can expect a little more out of it, whereas crypto, it's kind of a crapshoot, and in my opinion, almost a bit of a gamble.
Thank you so much.
Crypto is bad, or that people shouldn't invest in cryptocurrencies, but given the fact that there's not a whole lot of historical data, and the way you can see the large spikes in price going up and down, it can be very speculative. Not to say that the stock market can't be speculative, but crypto, in my opinion, takes it to a whole nother level. So, again, I have a small amount of money in cryptocurrency. Considering the fact that some of these coins make crazy turns on your investment, I put a little bit in there. Just who knows? Maybe I'll get lucky. You never know. But
sure.
Majority of my capital is invested in the stock market. And I think for the vast majority, I personally think you would be better keeping more money in the stock market versus money in cryptocurrency as far as historical data and just overall kind of exposing yourself to investment risk.
It sounds like it has more regulations also with the stock market than the crypto. So you have someone watching the fox, I guess, over the chicken coop. But before I get off, can I make a statement? Please, and thank you for that answer. Well, I am going to be a host tomorrow night on the One syndicated station, host show Wanda Walker, and tomorrow night at 9:30 I'll be on talking about generational wealth, tax abatements, property taxes, and a little bit of politics. So I'm asking everybody to tune in and listen. And I want to thank Brother O for this opportunity. And I'm excited. I don't even know if I'm going to be able to go to sleep tonight. It's like Christmas to me, or Christmas Eve.
Well, that's very exciting, Ms. Walker. Thank you so much.
Excited about this opportunity.
Thank you very much. And keep that excitement, because we definitely need hosts like you on this network. All right, we got another track by DJ Legend Brother O. Right, we are on the air all the way from Lagos, Nigeria. Call 516-453-9133 and press 1 to join the conversation. That is brought to you by Ngozi Time Multimedia. And this is a product of WBNN, and this is Strictly Business, and I'm your host, E. Davis. And before I continue, I would like to start giving a shout-out to local businesses in my area. I'm, you know, of course, from the Pittsburgh area in Pennsylvania, and I had posted on Facebook on my page that I want to promote businesses on this platform. Ashes to Beautiful, a story of hope for the hurting, and it is by author Judy Ann Webb. and it is available on Amazon. It's called Ashes to Beautiful, A Story of Hope for the Hurting, and it's on Amazon and Kindle. So if you have Facebook, go to Judith and Webb's WEBB page and give her, throw some hearts at her, let her know that you are proud of that she has started her writing journey and has a beautiful book on Amazon. Now, we do have a stock market guru on the line, Max Hughes. He is teaching us about the ins and outs of investing, how to invest, when to invest, and how to actually make some money and have it turn around with investment. And I thank him for just taking the opportunity. I reached out to him last month, the day after my show, just to understand the concepts of stocks, and he immediately said yes, and I'm just beyond excited because that was actually a month ago. And some people can say, you know what, I forgot I had plans, or I forgot I got something else to do, and I appreciate him just taking that time. So, Max, I have a question. How do you choose attract sales? How do you choose or attract stocks to invest?
Yeah, sure. So as far as individual companies go, I've kind of been all over the board, like from where I started to kind of where I've settled. In the beginning, kind of as I mentioned, just dividend stocks in general, I would kind of solely pay attention to the dividend yield, which the dividend yield is, it's simply the percentage of the share price that you'll get back as a dividend. So I would, the higher the dividend yield, the more money you'll get paid as a shareholder to hold that stock. So I was much more interested in kind of large cap, popular large cap stocks such as AT&T, a lot of the energy stocks, oil, you know, big oil companies, which typically pay a good dividend. And there's a number of pharmaceutical companies. So that was kind of where I started. And again, the appeal was that, well, I could generate the most passive income if I invest in these companies. The more I learned, the more I kind of found out that there is a lot more to it than just the dividend yield itself. Even when it comes to picking dividend stocks, there's a lot of criteria you can look for, such as kind of the rate at which the dividend payment has been grown over time, the amount of money a company is paying out in their net profitability to shareholders in the form of a dividend, and so on and so forth. There's a bunch of metrics to look into. So that's kind of where I started. After that, I started looking more into growth stocks because of the prospect of capital appreciation, which, again, is very appealing. And this, mind you, this was right before the pandemic. So I started investing and the pandemic hit. My portfolio took a tumble, but as many people know, there was this huge rebound. So a lot of the growth stocks I had picked started doing incredibly well. So it kind of, there was some confirmation bias there for sure. And then over time, things, you know, tend to level out. And I was not as set on growth stocks. In fact, now that the stock, the individual stocks I typically invest in, which I would just to mention, I mean, this is a small minority of like my portfolio. I invest, again, most of my money in index funds and ETFs, but it is important to spice it up sometimes and kind of add an element of fun, or else it's kind of like, well, why are you doing it if it's not fun? So I'll invest in what many would consider to be value type stocks, very similar to Warren Buffett, hence the Warren Buffett Jr. But these value stocks are, a value stock is, to put it simply, is it's a stock that is, let's say you have a stock, its intrinsic value, meaning its true value. If you were to, if you had all the information on the stock and all the fundamentals lined up, all the fundamentals of the business, let's say the stock is worth $50. That is in a vacuum what it should cost. Theoretically, it's $50. So if you could find that stock in the market for whatever reason, that stock price drops to $40, well, that would be a value stock. It's trading at a value. It's a discounted stock. It's on sale. And that's probably the easiest way for people to kind of remember it. it's a stock that's on sale that's been discounted. So now I typically focus on value type stocks, which, funny enough, are kind of the complete opposite of what you would consider a growth stock. A value stock are typically companies that aren't experiencing a huge amount of growth. And the best way to identify a value stock is to use valuation metrics. And some valuation metrics you can use, and typically you'll get different, you'll have a trailing 12-month metric, which just means this is kind of the metric 12 months, and then there will be like a forward metric, which means this is what it's projected to be in the future. So I'll use, there's price to earnings, PE ratio, which is a very popular valuation metric that people will use to judge whether a stock is trading at a fair value or it's undervalued or potentially overvalued, meaning that the stock price is higher than it theoretically should be. And different sectors kind of have different general PE ratios, but usually a PE ratio of about 10 means that a stock is relatively undervalued. That's not true across the board, but that's kind of a just gut check. That's a pretty good number to see. The one metric I actually look for the most is the price to book ratio, which is simply kind of a ratio of a company's assets. And I always look for a price to book ratio of under one. Anything under one is typically considered undervalued, and anything over one is typically considered overvalued. So anything under one, for example, like one stock right now that kind of has caught my attention is Paramount, which that's a big U.S. corporation. It's in the entertainment industry. There's a streaming service out now, Paramount Plus, but Paramount stock, last I checked, was trading at about a 0.5 price-to-book ratio. And again, all of its other fundamental valuation metrics looked pretty, they kind of checked the boxes. So that's kind of now my, when it comes to picking stocks, the very few that I do pick and the limited capital I do apply to these stocks, everything is a typical value play.
Okay, so before we get to the next question, we have a caller too in the queue. Caller, thank you so much for calling. Please tell us your name and where you're calling from.
Hi there, it's Ava Holly. How are you tonight?
Hey, Miss Ava, how are you?
How are you? So I love your guest. I love your show. Just calling to support your show. But I do have a question for Max. So, and you may have covered it because there's just a wealth of information that you're giving out tonight. Is there any value in buying like one share of stock? Like, I mean, I remember, and I don't even know if they still do it, but I remember you could get like one share of Disney stock. Like people used to do that when they're babies were born, they buy a share, you get framed and blah, blah, blah. And then the kid would have like one share of Disney stock, you know, as they're growing up. Is there any value? Like even you just mentioned Paramount, some of these bigger companies, and E mentioned Starbucks before. Is there any value to doing something like that, buying like one share?
Yeah, sure.
Obviously, it's not a big value, but yeah.
No, I got you. Like, and I would say, yeah, generally, yes. I wish my parents bought me a share of Disney stock when I was a baby, but I'd have a few more dollars in my pocket. But of course, there is value in it. And the way I kind of invest now is in terms of individual stock picking, I will just buy like one share of a very undervalued company, just again for fun and. Just because there's always the prospect that stock is going to do really well. Just statistically speaking, it's not always very likely. But, to answer your question, of course, especially if it's something – because, nowadays, I don't even know if you can get paper stock like you used to be able to. I know talking to my wife's father, he used to talk about going to the Charles Schwab building and buying stock. And I'm like, wow, that's that's just different times. Like nowadays you just go on your phone and you buy stock. Yeah, to answer your question, yeah, I think there's value in it, especially if it's something for something that's such a small price. I think it's a cool thing to do. And I mean, you know, if a stock is $100, I mean, you could go spend it somewhere else. You could invest it in something else, or it's, you know, you could buy it and it's kind of a memento at the same time. So I think, of course, it just depends on the person, but something like that, yeah, I think there's value in it. And a lot of people will recommend that you, if you are going to pick stocks, that you just invest in the things you know. So like Disney stock, for example, like a lot of people know the Disney company. And if that's something, you know, if it's something you're familiar with, there's, you know, there's nothing wrong with investing in it. And again, who knows, like it could perform really well in the future. So I like it.
Thank you so much for answering that. Great show, E, and, you know, just here supporting you.
Thank you. Thank you, Ava. And for you last night, great show.
Oh, thank you so much. Thank you, dear. Talk to you soon. Have a great night.
You too. And we got a track by international DJ legend, Brother O.
Waiting for it, I'm waiting too. In my imagination, I'll be all up on you. I know you got that fever for me, 102. And boy, I know I feel the same, my temperature's through the roof. If it's the camera up and hidden, it's only you for me. When I do. If it's the camera up and hidden, I bet like I just look on YouTube. Cause the beer on your mouth and brag about the secret rendezvous. I will hunt you down. My business like a wedding interview. Between you and I, touch my body. I'm blown away with you in my Caribbean sea.
If it's the camera up and hidden, it's only you for me. When I do. If it's the camera up and hidden, I bet like I just look on YouTube. Put the beer on your mouth and brag about your secret rendezvous.
I will hunt you down.
Cause baby, I'm up in my business like a wedding interview.
Davis. I'm your host tonight with Strictly Business. This is a product of WBNN. We are on the air all the way from Lagos, Nigeria. Please call 516-453-9133. Press 1 to join the conversation. brought to you by Ngozi Time Multimedia. We got caller number 3 in the queue. Caller, thank you so much for calling. Please tell us your name. Where are you calling from?
E. Davis.
Hey, this is Internet Radio Hall of Fame broadcasting answering Terry Strutt, a.k.a.
No,
a.k.a. brother, a.k.a. the king.
Here we go. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm doing great. I'm really enjoying the show and your honored guest, Mr. Max. He's outstanding. I was listening to a couple of the calls ago. She asked about the cryptocurrency. I've been getting incredible heat from one of my close friends who was a former millionaire. He has all the, I guess everybody has an insider guy, and he was saying something about the Federal Reserve is about to approve one of the cryptocurrencies or something like that. I don't know if Mr. Max has heard everything. I don't know if I can be saying this over the radio or whatever. I don't know. But he was like, Terrence, you got to invest at least a little bit of money. He was like, or whatever. And so, he is tugging on me big, big time. So apparently there's a lot of things going on with this cryptocurrency. Mr. Max, you kind of spoke to it a little bit about it to one of the callers. And I see you yourself have some investments. Do you know what he's talking about a little bit about some, there's some, because he was saying all the people that are involved are in the Federal Reserve or something like that. And so apparently there's some things going on. There's some changes going on with that. I'm not into it like that, but I have a friend. He is driving me crazy to invest.
Yeah, I got you. So I've heard a little bit about it.
About what I'm talking about?
Yeah, U.S. Central Bank Digital Currency, CBDC. So
yeah,
I have heard about it a little bit. To be honest, I know a lot more about stocks than I do crypto.
I got you.
So it's one of those things where crypto, like I said, it's very volatile, and there's not a whole lot of historical data. However, there are these huge opportunities in it. Like you're saying,
yeah,
like the Federal Reserve adopting,
yeah,
this cryptocurrency.
I'm not going to lie. He actually got my attention when he said that. He's been saying a lot, but when he said that, I was like, we got to talk some more about this. He got my attention when he said that. I'm not going to lie about that.
So, things where, if the Federal Reserve is kind of adopting a certain cryptocurrency, I would imagine that cryptocurrency, hypothetically, could be a good investment, especially.
Yes.
And I would be pretty confident, especially in the shorter term, for sure. I mean, you're going to see news like that, you're going to see a huge spike in the price. Like I wouldn't say it's guaranteed, but that would be my speculative guess. So that is, and seeing that, like you brought up a great point, that's what makes cryptocurrency investing very exciting for people, is the fact that it is so new and it is so unprecedented. And there is huge opportunities, as we've seen with even Bitcoin. I mean, although Bitcoin has gone down significantly since its highs, so I want to say about a year or two ago, some people that invested when it was incredibly cheaply priced have already profited a huge amount. So, I said, I'm a little more geared towards stocks, but I'm still learning myself. And if a good investment opportunity comes by, no matter what it is, I think people should listen. And I don't think anyone should just totally shut off anything just because it's a certain investment type or something like that, just because it's crypto. Oh, well, that's not a good investment. I think it totally depends on what's going on and kind of the context of the situation. So I'll tell you what, I'll have to look a little deeper into that myself, because that's pretty interesting news. Thank you for sharing that with me.
Oh, my God, I'm sharing. I was asking you. That's fine. I was like, he is going crazy.
I'm learning.
Like, Terry, you got to get at least $2,000 or whatever. And he was like, and then he was talking about the possible returns, which we know that's a case with is very, very volatile. But when he said the Federal Reserve was getting involved, I was like, you know what, we got to talk more about this. He got my attention, like seriously. I was like, oh.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, we all know that, I guess we all know that, you want to get into these things before they explode. I mean, most of us is always after the fact. You know, the company is really big, and we wish we had bought shares when that wasn't the case. Well, it seems like with crypto, you potentially have that opportunity, you know, and you potentially have it. It's very volatile. So, you know, I just wanted to mention that. I don't know if you heard anything or whatever, but it sounds like you have. Sounds like you have heard something. So, yeah, I gotta make some decisions.
A little. I got you. Yeah, like a little bit. And like I said, crypto. I think the reason I like it so much is there is some excitement and buzz about stocks. The potential rewards with crypto is obviously a lot higher than a lot of stocks. So it's one of those things where, like you said, you will get some information. And in my opinion, like if the crypto is supposed to 1,000x, you know, you get 1,000% return on your investment, then making a small contribution into that coin or token or whatever it is, it's a relatively small amount of money, and you could potentially get a lot out of it. So that's kind of how I got into crypto, is just the thought that, well, if I buy some of these coins, chances are I'm probably not going to get anything out of it. Like, statistically speaking, I'm probably not going to get anything out of it, but there is potential for it. Like, there is still that chance that it's going to hit. So, I'd say, like, my concluding statement on it is, if there is crypto news that seems promising for the future, like, I see no problem with throwing some money at it, right? Especially if you have the money. If you don't have a whole lot of money, someone that's a beginner, then I would say, you know, debatable, maybe could put it somewhere safer, something more predictable. But I don't know. I might throw some money at it. We'll see.
All right, but thank you. Thank you, E. This is a good guest, as always.
Thank you.
Thank you,
Kim. All right, our next caller is 2022 WBNN New Host of the Year, Clever One.
Yo, this is Clever One, one half of the Booze Brothers, representing from the Broad Street Bully side of Philadelphia. Well, you thought next door neighbor almost got hit by a car down there on Germantown area in front of the Max's Cheese Sticks while she was waiting for salt, pepper, ketchup, mayonnaise, fried onions, pickles and peppers, and extra meat on the side. Went to the joint. That's how you got to do your good marketing out there. Almost getting hit by a car trying to buy a cheesesteak out here, damn it. How you doing today, E? How's everything?
You know what? Every month I look forward to your five-minute intro. How are you tonight?
Oh, fabulous, you know what I'm saying? And your guest is wonderful. How you doing tonight, you know what I'm saying? I got a question for your guest, if you don't mind. Oh, shout out to the Wolf of Wall Street out here, you know what I mean? You know, that's a good film to watch, you know what I'm saying? When you want to get some influential statuses on going for yourself, when you want to try to get, you know. But I got a question real fast. So I noticed that a lot of people out here that, you know, got the crypto, they got the they involved in the stocks and all these investments in here and all this kind of stuff. I noticed that these people that's real good at it, they take into the hobby of gambling as well, you know what I mean? You know, FanDuel, all these types of joints, you know what I mean? They at casinos, they betting on horses, betting on everything. It's like Hangover, part all of them. You hear what I'm saying? But what I want to know is, is it a relative thing? Are there relations between the two? Are there correlations between the two, or if any? But I just wanted to know. Are these the same particular strategies and how to come and achieve and get successful in these stock markets, you know what I mean, being a gambler out here? Is that a good thing to be in order to be good at stocks here? That's just a question real quick.
I got you. As far as the stock market goes, there are, of course, people that I would say an easy example is like day trading, for example, or swing trading, which would just be buying some stock, holding on to it for a matter of days and dumping it once the price is where you want it to be. I would say these strategies are a little more akin to gambling. And again, when I talk about investing, I'm more talking about alluding towards like long-term investing, buying something, holding it for a long time, selling it after many years once that value has increased. Pretty cut and dry. And honestly, but at the same time, there's also, like, when you gamble, let's be real, when you gamble, there's some excitement involved. It's kind of a thrill. So I would say that as far as what I would consider investing, I would not consider it so much gambling. I would say the longer you hold something after you buy it, the farther away it gets from gambling. But, I mean, that's not to say that people don't make money gambling, because people do. I would just say, in general, the vast majority of people will probably lose money gambling. But again, there's also the thrill of gambling. So it's kind of like a risk versus reward, and kind of like you're paying for something with the thought that you could get more out of it, but you're also enjoying the experience. So to me, they are different, but that's not to say that you should do one and you shouldn't do the other, or vice versa. And like you said, a lot of business people, you know, they might be involved with gambling and investing concurrently, which I would imagine is just the fact that they are drawn to money. And that,
yeah, because
like
I know it's all about algorithms here. You know what I mean? I know these guys get into these algorithms and they know how to, kind of count the progress, kind of like counting cards. You know what I'm saying? At the crap table or somewhere, or at the casino. I'm saying, you know, where you guys get into a tune with trying to, you know, cheat codes and counting algorithms and things like that. I just been saying, like, not necessarily people who do the same and the likes at the same time, but kind of like if you're familiar with that methodology of gambling, is that something that gets people over? You know what I'm saying? Like, I noticed that the guys that's good at it, they do a lot of gambling. You know what I mean? I know guys that do stocks, a lot of them. You know what I'm saying? And they also do a lot of gambling. But so I'm trying to figure out if that's just a – is it part of being good at gaming or counting algorithms in regards to know what to invest in stocks, when to get in, when to get out, you know what I'm saying? But, yes, that was why I just wanted to hear that, and that was real, real heavy. I'll jot that down for those who want to know, you know what I'm saying? And this is, like I said, you're doing a wonderful job. Shout out to your guests. Thanks this evening, you know what I'm saying? I will be on the 22nd, like 2000 last year out here. You see what I'm saying? I'm Clever One, one half for the Booze Brothers, representing from the Broad Street Bully side of Philadelphia, where your 15-year-old nephew got Bitcoin, but he ain't pay no damn bills to get no cheesesteaks on the grill. Check your satellites.
Okay, that is...
I love it.
You know what? That's a good guy. He definitely is a good guy. 2022 WBNN new host of the year, Clever One, and he definitely is a good guy. So now it's time for my final thoughts. First of all, Max, I want to again thank you for taking the time just to spend some time with us, with my WBNN family, and breaking down the stocks. And what are your, other than your Instagram handle, how can we get in contact with you?
Yeah, so you can, if you want to just contact my email, it is stock.masters.ig@gmail.com. That's something that I should respond to pretty quickly. aside from my Instagram page, I do have a TikTok also, doc_masters_, same as my Instagram. And that's generally the same basic content. It caters to a little bit different audience with the different format on the platforms, but typically the same content. .masters.ig@gmail.com. And I do offer like financial consultations, mainly geared toward retail investors or the general population, and pretty much just optimizing personal finance. And really, I mean, that comes down to learning how to budget correctly, understanding your income versus your expenses and kind of what you get afterwards and what you can do with that money, save it, invest it, whatever. And I do offer like a free consultation, a free 30-minute consultation for anyone that is interested. So my email or on Instagram, if you're interested in anything like that, the consultation, I mean, if as in-depth as you want it to be, I will answer all of your questions. I like doing this, so it's not, you know, it's not like a hassle. I like talking to people about stocks and trying to educate people so that they can put themselves in a better financial situation.
Perfect, perfect. Thank you so much. I definitely appreciate all the information. My husband and I have been listening, and we got some notes. So trust me, I personally will be in touch on how to properly invest and really get into this concept. The final thoughts, again, is to learn how to make your money work for you, not you work for your money. It is so important and very peril that you understand that. I mean, we definitely understand the concept of saving. You know what I mean? You pay yourself, put a little money up, take care of them bills, you take care of household necessities, but really try to understand the stock, because if and when the stock market can crash, that was October of 1929, what will actually happen? Banks were closed. Like, what can really happen is you have to understand how to move your money. We celebrate these celebrities because of their status, because of how they do it, but some of them actually invested in stock. They can afford to buy certain venues and avenues. Like right now, Byron Allen and Tyler Perry are in a bidding war for BET. So by you stocking your money and putting your money up and really investing properly, we can buy a network. We can own a network. We own a network, WBNN, but more so we can own, we have more avenues and more land to cover. Thank you so much, Max.
All right, let's go. Hey, you gotta bounce to this like this. You almost gotta watch to this.
Thank you. All right, wow. What a wonderful show tonight, E. Davis, with Strictly Business. And hats off to your guest, Max. And what a wonderful topic, understanding the stock market. And it is definitely good to invest. And some people do it in different ways with investing. Some people have a financial advisor and different things like that. Some people do it on their own. You guys talked about crypto. So they have crypto, they have Bitcoin, and so many other ways to invest today. And I find it very interesting that, like, if you have Cash App or Venmo, you can actually invest right there. Take some of your money, put it into Bitcoin, or put it on, I think they have Bitcoin, and it's another one they have on those apps that you can send and receive money. So it's so interesting now that there's so many ways to invest. And I remember years ago, I mean like decades ago, I attended a Forex trading seminar, and that was very interesting. But I didn't go the Forex way because they wanted you to pay them thousands and thousands of dollars up front, and then with all this other stuff attached and monthly membership stuff. I'm like, oh, no, that's crazy. But I have stocks, and it's definitely good to have stock. And sometimes, yes, they will grow. Sometimes they won't. And it is good to know when to sell your stock. And sometimes you'll see it go down. Like I have some I see go down, but then I don't sell because I know it's going to go back up. And they do go back up. And it's good. I found it to be good when they're really high. I like to sell mine because I can get more money for it. And, you know, so, you know, it's a win-lose situation. You're not always going to win with it. You're not always going to be on top. You're going to have some losses, and that's with everything. That's the game of life. But it is good to invest your money. And, hey, if you don't want to take the risk, don't. But it's good to invest. So for those of you that spend your money foolishly on all kinds of things that you don't really need, try taking some of that money and investing it and allow your money to grow, you know, with the stock market. Allow it to grow or invest it in a CD or something that's going to grow you some money instead of just throwing your money away. It's ridiculous how people just throw money away and then they cry, you know, in the end, oh, I shouldn't have brought this, shouldn't have brought that. Invest your money, doggone it, invest. So what a wonderful show tonight, E. Davis, and I'm sure the listeners learn something tonight, and hopefully they will begin to invest their monies. So I really enjoyed the show, E. Davis, as always. I invite you all to tune in Sunday night to News Forum, where I am the host, 9:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And this Sunday night, we're going to have a wrongful conviction case. We're going to have a couple candidates on that are running for office during the primary election this year. And it's going to be a wonderful show, so definitely tune in. And What is the day? Today is Thursday. Tomorrow is Friday. Saturday, I want to just let everybody know tonight that's listening. The lady Karen Brookins that was on News Forum this past Sunday, whose son died last year, March 18th, by diving off of the overpass at Knights and Woodhaven Road while SWAT was out there with guns drawn on him and everything. It was just a horrible ordeal. And he was suffering from a mental health crisis, unarmed, harmless, and they tormented him for 3 hours out there. And so this Saturday, she's having a one-year memorial for him at Knights and Woodhaven Road. If anybody would like to come out and show this mother some love and support, she's been a guest on News Forum numerous times telling the story of her husband, Johnny Brookins, who has been wrongfully incarcerated now for 32 years. And she will be there in the parking lot of Dunkin' Donuts, and that will be at 8:15. They're going to be gathering, and they're going to be out there until noon. And from 8:30 to about 11:30, you know, they'll be having like little talks and people talk about Marcus and different things like that. And at 11:43 is the time that Marcus jumped off of that overpass. And at that time, they're going to have a balloon release. So if anybody wants to come out there, please do. I will be there, and it will be live streamed on Facebook. And, you know, just keep her in prayer, please, Karen Brookins and her family. Keep them in prayer. She needs your support. So hopefully some of you will come out and support that mother and show her some love, because she's going through it. She has no answers for her son's death. The police are not cooperating. They won't give her police reports or anything else. And Rania Major, who has been a guest on News Forum in the past, she's an attorney. I talked to Rania. Rania is going to help her do what she needs to do to get those police reports and get the answers that she needs as to why nobody assisted her son and prevented him from diving off that bridge. So thank you all so much, and hopefully you'll come out. WBNN has advertising through Ngozi Time Multimedia. We're on Pinterest, Instagram, and Twitter at Ngozi_time, and Oladele Malewe Ngozi at Facebook. Any comments and suggestions for our wonderful programming tonight, oladele.ngozi@my.com. For our mother's and father's favorite producer, Oladele Malewe Ngozi, I am WBNN Commissioner Dr. Chinchilla J, saying good night and good luck to all the folks out there in Armed Forces Radio that support us on a constant basis. Now stay tuned tomorrow night for our intern host show. So we have another intern, everybody. That's going to be tomorrow night featuring Wanda Walker. That's at 9:30 p.m. tomorrow night right here on WBNN, or you can tune in at www.blogtalkradio.com. And I want to just say one thing. Last night, Ava Holly had a guest on, Sarah, and Sarah was talking about the releasing of doves. And on the podcast last night I did with Karen, she was talking about doves, and this just gets me so emotional, but she was talking about doves and how she wanted doves to be released at Marcus's memorial. And so on the podcast last night I mentioned that, and then there was a funeral home that they're donating a dove, and we still need two more doves. And so Sarah heard me mention that last night, and she got my information from Ava, and she contacted me, and Sarah was going to bring those doves free of charge and release them for Karen. But unfortunately, her doves can't fly that far because this is in Northeast Philadelphia, and Sarah is out in Jersey, which is too far for her doves. They have not been trained to fly that far yet. But thank you so much, Sarah. I just want to give her a shout-out. God bless you. Thank you for your kindness and your love and your support. All right, now back to E. Davis and Strictly Business.
Ah, wow, Chinchilla. Thank you so much. I am beyond excited that this was a very successful show, and I am looking forward to learning more about stocks and investing. It is very, very important, especially within the Black community, that we need to be more mindful of our money to be able to take care of our business. We are conquerors. We are not just someone that just lives around the corner. We need to learn how to own the property, to invest your money, learn the value of your money. Think about what you're purchasing. Don't buy another handbag. Don't buy another pair of shoes. Don't buy another outfit. Put the money into stocks. You can truly, truly, truly learn the power of your money. Ladies and gentlemen, you have a great night.